Matthew Green is one of the most credible voices in applied cryptography. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins. He's been involved in real-world cryptography implementations and critiques for years. And when he publishes something alarming, it's worth taking seriously. His post, "Everything is About to Go Dark," scoring 356 with 159 comments, is alarming. And I think it's also largely correct.
Give listeners the core argument.
The context is the long-running going dark problem. The FBI and other law enforcement agencies have been arguing since at least the 1990s that encryption is making it impossible for them to intercept communications, even with lawful warrants. The Clipper chip debate, the crypto wars, this is old territory. Green's argument is that we're entering a new phase where law enforcement's response isn't to fight encryption legislatively, which they've mostly lost, but to shift toward endpoint compromise. Instead of breaking the encryption, you hack the phone. Instead of intercepting the message in transit, you install something on the device before it gets encrypted.
That's a significant shift in legal and technical terrain. Wiretapping under CALEA, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, operates under a relatively well-understood legal framework. Device hacking by government actors is much murkier. Different statutes, different standards, and much harder for the target to detect or challenge.
Green's piece goes into the technical mechanics of how this is being done, exploiting vulnerabilities in devices, using commercial spyware like the Pegasus ecosystem, and increasingly using legal frameworks that are poorly suited to the new reality. One point he makes that I find particularly important. When law enforcement hacks a device, they often need to find and exploit a vulnerability that the manufacturer hasn't patched. That creates pressure, sometimes explicit, sometimes implicit, for governments to stockpile 0 days rather than disclose them to manufacturers.
And that's a collective security problem. A 0 day stockpiled by the FBI is a 0 day that criminals and foreign intelligence services can also potentially discover and use. The WannaCry ransomware attack in 2017 used an NSA-developed exploit called Eternal Blue that was stolen and leaked. That's not a hypothetical risk.
The HN threat is pretty sophisticated on this. There are practicing security researchers, defense contractors, and civil liberties advocates all engaging with the technical and policy dimensions. One thread I found compelling was about the international dimension. The U.S. government's ability to legally hack a target depends on jurisdiction in ways that get very complicated very quickly with cross-border communications.
Which brings us to the Boeing story, because the two pieces connect in an uncomfortable way. Wired is reporting on a coin-sized device. We're talking about something you could conceal in a pocket that can apparently interface with and potentially compromise avionics systems on a Boeing 737. The HN score is 90 with 60 comments, and the comments are a mix of technical skepticism and genuine concern.
The technical mechanism matters here. Modern aircraft have multiple data buses, ARINC 429, ARINC 664, various CAN bus derivatives that carry information between avionics systems. The question is always whether those buses are adequately isolated from passenger accessible interfaces. Boeing has had this critique leveled at them before, notably in a 2015 GAO report that raised concerns about whether the 787's passenger network was sufficiently isolated from avionics networks.
The HN commenters with avionics backgrounds are doing important work in that thread, distinguishing between can access the data bus and can actually control flight systems. Those are very different threat models. Reading telemetry data off a bus is a concern. Actually sending commands that flight control computers would act on requires defeating multiple layers of validation.
Right, and several commenters note that the regulatory testing regime for avionics security, DO-326A and DO-356A are the relevant standards, is supposed to address exactly these isolation questions. The concern is whether those standards have kept pace with the actual hardware being deployed, particularly as more systems go IP-based. It's a legitimate research question.
The connection to Matthew Green's piece is this. Both stories are about the gap between the security model we assume is in place and the security model that actually exists. For encrypted communications, the assumption was that the encryption was the perimeter. For aircraft avionics, the assumption is that physical and network isolation is the perimeter. Both assumptions are being tested.